This is the voice of DC cab drivers, brought to you Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. by Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WUST 1120 AM. You can download and listen to past programs at thefightback.org.
A few months ago, you asked us to form an association. We have formed one association, and name is Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Join that association. We don't need another one. If we join, everybody joins our association, we'll be successful.
I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org. Tonight, in addition to examining what's going on in the District of Columbia, we turn our attention to two neighboring jurisdictions struggling with taxi cab issues. In Prince George's, the county council recently passed a bill which overturned last year's unanimous vote on CB 36, which provided medallions directly to independent drivers instead of to the few big players that dominate the county's taxicab industry. In a July 3rd op-ed in the Sunday Washington Post, Prince George's County Councilmember Mary Lehman wrote, "This is a classic David versus Goliath struggle. In Prince George's County, what has stood between independent drivers and economic security is a system that is reminiscent of the sharecropper system in the Old South, in which poor white and black farmers could never get ahead. While cab companies pay the county $200 per year per licensed vehicle, drivers who affiliate with those companies pay a staggering $335 per week, or about 50% of their earnings, to essentially rent the license from the corporate holder," end quote. Lehman was one of three council members who voted against Prince George's County's recent anti-driver legislation known as CB3. In an extended interview last week that will be airing later in the program, Lehman described Prince George's County's taxi industry as being like a system of indentured servitude. Here's a clip from our interview.
We had a briefing where we kind of were given, you know, the background and the industry and the history of the law that had passed last year. And I, you know, my immediate reaction was, in the op-ed piece, I call it, by liken it to the sharecropper system in the South. But I immediately said to myself, you know, this is like a system of indentured servitude is what I thought of. We're just, there's just no way it's no one's ever going to get ahead in a system like that. When you're paying out, you know, 50% right off the top of your earnings, you know, how do you ever, you know, even make ends meet, never mind get ahead? It just, it's shocking, really, that any industry in this day and age can operate legally in that fashion. And it reminded me, you know, of Martin Luther King's words back in 1968, right before he was assassinated, when he went down to Memphis to talk to sanitation workers, and he talked about what a travesty it is for a man to, you know, work a full day for essentially half a day's pay. And I think that's exactly, I can't think of a better analogy for these cab drivers, the ones who have to affiliate with the companies.
That was Prince George's County Councilmember Mary Lehman. Later in the program, we'll play an extended interview with her and Henok Wogdurs, one of the lead organizers of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. The Taxi Workers Alliance needs to collect 10,000 signatures in 90 days in order to place the recently passed anti-driver legislation, CB3, on the November 2012 ballot as a referendum, as Wogdurs explained.
We have registered ourselves to start signing a petition to stop CB3 from taking effect. So we have started that effort starting this past Friday.
And what do you need for that to be successful?
We need to get 10,000 legitimate signatures from the voters registered in Prince George's County, and within 90 days. And we have 45, within 45 days, we got to come up close to 300 petitions. And the law won't take effect for another 45 days. And we got to come up with the rest of petitions within 90 days. And that will stop from the law taking effect. And it's got to be put on a referendum for November 2012.
That was Henok Wogdurs, one of the lead organizers of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. Later in the program, we'll play the full interview with him and District 1 Councilmember Mary Lehman. In Arlington, a taxicab drivers organization is making waves. The group is called AUTO, or Arlington United Taxi Operators. One of AUTO's main concerns is that drivers are being left out of the political process, and in particular of the writing of the county's taxi code. Brahani Michaels is one of the group's lead organizers. Last week, when I asked Michaels how many members Otto had, he declined to say, citing fears of potential retribution from fleet owners. In fact, according to Michaels, drivers were retaliated against by owners for participating in last month's sit-in of the office of Arlington Director of Transportation Dennis Leach. Here are some of what Michaels had to say.
Well, I wouldn't say the number for fear of all the companies, but that day we had over 150 cab drivers attending that standoff, and only 100 stayed because the other 50 were returned to go to work because, you know, the space was too small, and we didn't see any importance of having more than 100 people. So quite a number. There are 1,400 registered taxi cab drivers in Arlington County, and we have a sizable number supporting us. Everyone supports the idea of being organized in the union, but the fear of the companies is holding them up. And we will keep the numbers secret for the moment.
Why is there fear of the companies? What might a company do?
Well, it happened before. If they, one of the companies at least, if they know that you are involved in the union, then for one reason or the other, they may fire you, or they may take back their number, and there you are. You're stuck on the ground. Such actions have been taken even after that June standoff. Several drivers have received warnings from one of the companies, saying that if you attend any meetings, we'll take back our number. If you support that, you'll not continue to drive our cab. Such things are happening right now.
Later in the program, we'll play the full interview with Brahani Michaels, one of the lead organizers of Otto, Arlington United Taxi Operators. In D.C., Mayor Vincent Gray is facing scrutiny over campaign contributions. Nikita Stewart of The Washington Post reported that the paper found, quote, several instances of cash donations that exceeded the city's $25 limit. Gray campaign workers then improperly exchanged that cash for money orders, which carry a higher donation limit. The campaign officially reported the money order donations and not the cash, the Post found. Money order donations totaled more than $56,000, primarily from the city's taxi industry, end quote. That's from a July 19th Washington Post article. Mayor Gray responded by issuing a press release which read in part, quote, "The story published in the Post raises questions about my mayoral campaign. I regret that unresolved issues from the campaign continue to surface. The campaign has been under investigation, an investigation for which I called as soon as allegations of improprieties were made several months ago, and I cannot comment on specific matters. Last year, we mounted a grassroots mayoral campaign and won within a six-month time frame. The schedule was very tight, and I had to trust people to properly carry out the duties for which they were responsible. But obviously, if mistakes were made, the campaign should be held accountable," end quote. That's from a press release put out by Mayor Vincent Gray. Fox 5's Paul Wagner followed up the Washington Post article with this news story.
D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray admitted today that there are serious questions surrounding the way his campaign handled cash contributions. The D.C. Office of Campaign Finance is now investigating, and Fox 5's Paul Wagner is in the newsroom with more on these new allegations. Paul?
Well, Laura, the allegations are as simple as this. Gray campaign workers allegedly took cash donations and combined the money into larger money orders. That's against the law. Mayor Gray said today if mistakes were made, the campaign should be held accountable. 8 months after Vincent Gray's campaign came to a close, the mayor finds himself dogged by claims of improprieties. The latest allegations uncovered by the Washington Post claim campaign workers defied city law by accepting cash donations larger than $25, then exchanged that cash for money orders. Mayor Gray said today the alleged wrongdoing had only recently surfaced.
It was a revelation to me. Again, we've turned over all of our campaign finance records we did several months ago to the Office of Campaign Finance, and we fully cooperated, and we're prepared to continue to do that.
So what happened? Were campaign workers handling the money just ignorant of the law, or is there some other explanation?
Well, I'm not sure that we exactly know why it happened. I mean, we know that there were a lot of money orders because there were people who supported our campaign who just don't deal in checks and the like. So they purchased money orders and made contributions to our campaign. But some of these things, I think, really warrant the continued investigation.
Wesley Williams with the D.C. Office of Campaign Finance says the law is specific and clear.
The money order has to be made by the contributor. The contributor cannot give the committee in excess of $25, and then the committee turns around and makes a money order for that person.
Nathan Price with the D.C. Professional Taxicab Drivers Association says he attended fundraisers where drivers contributed more than $25 in cash, and no one from the Gray campaign said a word. Price says Gray attended one of them.
It shocked me. The drivers came and they started throwing money in their basket. And when they finished counting the money, they said it was more than $1,500.
Price says he regrets the donations now because the mayor has since ignored the cabbies and their concerns. The U.S. Attorney's Office is investigating the Gray campaign. The mayor likes to point out he was the first to ask for it. The Washington Post reported that this investigation also uncovered questionable donations from at least one organization that doesn't exist, as well as donations with names and addresses not supported by public records. Sean.
Thank you, Paul.
That was from Fox 5. This is the Voice of D.C. Cab Drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WUST 1120 AM. Dominion is a member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers, and a board member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers is Haimanot Bizuayahu, who joins us on the line. Welcome, Haimanot. Haimanot, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks. Well, there's a lot to talk about. We've played the Fox 5 news piece and read a clip from Nikita Stewart's piece in the Washington Post, which was followed up the next day by an editorial, and then there's a piece in the Examiner, which we need to touch on. But I wanted to get some of your initial thoughts, Haimanot.
Thank you, Pete. The Small Business Association of District of Columbia Taxi Cab Drivers, which is the largest association in terms of members, is very concerned about the characterization by both the Post and the Washington Post and the Examiner. But I don't think we don't believe everything said there is factual, especially, I mean, one of the things that Washington Post says is that Mr. Swain was removed from his office because of the tax cab driver's contribution to the Green campaign. I don't think that's factual, because we believe that Mr. Swain was removed from office because of his incompetency.
Let me read you that quote, Haimanot, that you're mentioning. It's in an editorial July 20th entitled "More Questions for Mr. Gray: Did the Mayor's Campaign Break Fundraising Rules?" And the editorial stated that former D.C. Taxicab Commission Chair Leon Swain was someone, quote, whom drivers reviled because he helped engineer the switch from zones to meter. Never mind that Leon Swain had proven his integrity by cooperating with the federal probe into cab corruption, end quote. That's from the Washington Post editorial July 20th. Your response?
I personally don't believe that the reason for his removal was the switch from, for him engineering the switch from zone system to meter system. In fact, the drivers now like the meter. What we are opposing now and even before was the rate structure, because the rate structure is the laws in the nation, and we still oppose that. We don't oppose the meters. But for the Post to write that the reason for his removal was because of the contribution and the engineering the switch from zone system to meter system was not true. We believe, I will repeat that, we believe that the reason for his removal was his incompetency, his unfairness to the cab drivers. I mean, He has been, how many, I mean, he's supposed to have a meeting of the commission, the full commission, I believe, 24, every, I don't exactly remember, I think it's 24 times a year or so. But how many, if you go out and count, how many meetings did he have? And this is the commission supposed to do a rate study every 24 years, I mean, months. Never that happened under his leadership. So that, and look, the abuse by Han Spector, all this happened under his watch. So it was, he was removed because of his incompetency. So I don't think that is factual. And we are really concerned about the characterization of the whole industry by the Post and the Examiner.
I want to read you the next sentence one more time and get your response. It says, "Never." This is from the Washington Post editorial on July 20th. "Never mind that Leon Swain had proven his integrity by cooperating with the federal probe into DeKalb corruption." I don't know that anyone who spent a lot of time at the D.C. Taxicab Commission hearings would be able to have a lot of lofty praise for Leon Swain. In fact, his general counsel was Dina Reed, who's now the interim chair of the D.C. Taxicab Commission, who's been embattled of late. So your response at the Post saying that he's proven his integrity?
Well, simply, I mean, cooperating with the federal probe cannot be a determining factor for integrity. I mean, we didn't question his integrity. What we questioned is his competency. And we believe that he was removed because of his incompetence, not because of his integrity.
Haiman Abizuayihu, I want to read to you the first few sentences of an article in The Examiner entitled "Gray Campaign Failed to Report Free Taxi Rides for Voters." It's by Freeman Kloppet, and it begins with these words: "D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray's campaign failed to report his contributions, hundreds of free taxi rides to the polls the campaign organized for elderly voters, records and interviews show. District political campaigns are required to report his contributions, goods and services they receive that would otherwise result in a bill from the provider. During the 2 weeks of early voting before the September Democratic primary, and on the day of the primary and again for the general election, district taxi drivers delivered voters to the polls on behalf of the Gray for Mayor campaign, organizers told the Washington Examiner. But those rides and the market rate taxi drivers would have charged do not appear anywhere in the campaign's finance reports. Come on, man, I can't track all of that, Gray told the Examiner when asked about the campaign's failure to report the rides as in-kind contributions on Wednesday. Ask my treasurer, I can't corroborate it, said Gray." And then I just want to continue, and this is the only person quoted on this important issue, also the only person in the Fox 5 piece as well as on the Washington Post piece, and that's Nathan Price, president of the D.C. Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association. Reading for the Examiner piece goes like this. "But Nathan Price, president of the D.C. Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association, helped the campaign organize the drivers. When a voter requested a ride from the campaign, it called Price, who then dispatched a taxi to the address," Price said. "On the day of the primary, Price said taxi drivers provided about 200 rides and another 200 for the November general election. Price estimated the average election day round trip would have cost about $15 or about $6,000 altogether. That doesn't include the dozens of rides given during the 2 weeks of early voting before the primary, when rides and waits were longer," he said. "This was a strike at Mayor Adrian Fenty, and everyone, including myself, decided to do this for free for the Gray campaign," Price said. Your response to this article, Haiman Abizuayihu?
Well, it is true that both the Washington Post and Examiner quoted Mr. Price. As you know, Mr. Price is a member of the newly formed association, the Small Business Association of DC Tax Cab Drivers. And the Small Business Association of Cab Drivers leadership is in, I believe, is in the process of talking with Mr. Price about this issue. So it is I will only comment whether Washington Post or Examiner clearly or quoted Mr. Price after we sit down and talk to him. But One thing I want to make clear here is DCP today is one of the Small Business Association of DCAB Drivers, a cooperative organization which has many driver-owned companies as a member and the two Taxi Cab Drivers Association. One of it is the CPTDA, and the CPTDA has the less number of members comparing with the Small Business Association with the BC cab driver. So that has to be made clear here.
How many times have the Examiner, the Washington Post, Fox 5, these various news organizations, I saw a report, brief report in City Paper as well, approached the Small Business Association of DC taxi cab drivers for comments?
No, they didn't approach us so far regarding these issues.
And yet the Small Business Association represents some several thousand drivers as opposed to individual organizations.
That's true, but the Small Business Association was not in existence during the campaign of Mr. Gray as the mayor.
Any final thoughts you care to share, Hamanat?
Well, I mean, we like Post or any newspaper to engage with us in a fair way, and if they need the information about the fights of the taxi cab drivers in Washington D.C. these days, they better to. I will advise them to contact the leadership of the Small Business Association of the taxi cab drivers. They will get the right information for our current struggle here and the activity what the Small Business Association of DC cab drivers are carrying on.
Lastly, and maybe this is redundant, do you feel that the quotes that are in the paper represent the Small Business Association of DC taxi cab drivers?
No, it doesn't. But they were trying to portray all the taxi cab drivers, independent drivers of the Washington DC, mischaracterized all in drivers of Washington DC.
Thanks, Hamanat Bizuahu. That was Hamanat Bizuahu, board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. We now turn to an extended interview with Prince George's County Councilmember Mary Lehman and Henok Wogdurs, a lead organizer with the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. The Taxi Workers Alliance is attempting to gather 10,000 signatures to overturn the recently passed anti-driver legislation known as CB3. CB3 undoes legislation unanimously passed by the council just a year ago, which provided 390 medallions directly to independent drivers instead of to the few big companies that dominate the county's taxi cab industry. I began by asking Councilmember Mary Lehman about the recently passed CB3 and the driver legislation which it undid, known as CB36.
Just a year ago, in July of 2010, the Prince George's County Council unanimously passed a taxi cab reform bill that was sponsored by Councilman Tom Dernoga, but was ultimately unanimously supported by all nine council members. And it changed pretty significantly the way the county distributed licenses for taxi cabs for companies and individual drivers, and changed a very unfair system by setting a finite number of expanding the finite limited number of licenses for individual drivers to roughly about 1,400, expanded by 1,400 or so the pool, to be distributed by a lottery. And at a cost of $25, which was the cost of the application fee. And it also prohibited individual drivers who, once they got a license and maybe decided for whatever reason they didn't want to drive any longer or, just, you know, they didn't want to make their living that way, to sell them the licenses or medallions, as some people call them, back to the cab companies. In the past, that's what, you know, contributed to the monopoly control of the licenses. And it's also obviously an issue of economics, because for taxi companies or licenses that they buy, which are referred to as multiple owner licenses or certificates, they pay just $200 per vehicle per year. And so it's much more affordable for the companies, because then they turn around and sort of lease their licenses or their certificates to drivers who can't get them on their own, And those drivers who drive as affiliated drivers for the companies pay $335 on average a week. So it's a huge amount of their earnings. It's roughly equal to 50% if the average cab driver makes in those $35,000 to $40,000 a year range. $335 a week is about $17,000 a year, which is just staggering to pay that right off the top before they pocket anything at all. So, you know, there was an obvious need to get away from that system. It was a very unfair system, and cab companies were controlling, you know, 70, 75% of the licenses. And so it changed all that with the, you know, with expanding the number of these individual licenses. And then prohibiting, the important part was it prohibited the drivers from selling, the individual drivers from selling, you know, whatever price they could get for these certificates back to the companies. And, you know, with Councilman Campos, who just voted for this law last year, decided, I don't know how, you know, it was never clear to me how he arrived at this, that this, you know, law went too far, and so he introduced CB3, 2011, and he did not have any co-sponsors on the bill, but he persuaded enough of our council colleagues to support it. He got it out of the Transportation, Housing, and Environment Committee with no recommendation, which means the five-member committee voted not to, you know, to pass it through to the full council with neither, you know, a positive nor a negative, vote. It just was without recommendation, and no changes were made to it, even though we attempted to Councilman Olson and I attempted a series of amendments that would have, you know, restored some of the provisions back to the law that Mr. Dernoga got passed last year, such as the prohibition on selling the certificates back to the companies, and what we refer to as the ratio or the balance. Lack of balance in the bill, which is that, you know, where companies could own up to 75% of the certificates, you know, Mr. Campos's bill restored that ability, the monopoly control. Mr. Dernoga's bill the year before had changed that ratio of individual owners owning the licenses versus companies to, I believe it was 55-45. And so this bill, you know, really, CB3 just completely turns back the clock to the way things were prior to enactment of last year's reform bill, which is very, very unfortunate.
Councilmember Mary Lehman, I want to play for you a clip before the hearing, or actually just the day of the hearing. Former Council Chair Tom Dernoga happened to be at the Prince George's County Council, and I had a chance to ask him his thoughts on CB3, which, as you're saying, overturned CB36, which was passed unanimously as he was council chair just a year ago. So I want to play a clip from my interview with former council chair Tom Dernoga and get your response. As the former chair of the Prince George's County Council, who helped shepherd through legislation that provided 390 medallions to drivers, what are your thoughts about CB3 and where things stand now?
I think it's an unfortunate rollback that seems to be focused by special interest. You had two or three people control the cab industry in the county, and our goal was to break the stranglehold by a handful of individuals who basically didn't want to see free enterprise and basically had no problem keeping people in poverty, you know, the drivers. And anybody who spoke out got punished, lost the ability to drive in the county. They basically were frozen because there's nobody else to go to. So we tried to break that stranglehold by putting out the additional medallions and creating some rules that prevented the monopolies from buying up the certificates we created. And the bill that's proposed essentially supports recreating monopolies and putting workers and drivers in a position of long-term poverty and retribution against anyone who speaks out against it.
The CB36, the bill that you helped push through with those 390 medallions to drivers. That was passed unanimously by this body.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. I'm not sure what else to say. Yeah, it was passed unanimously. And I think a lot of the council members have been dealing with it over a period of 3 to 5 years and come to realize that there was a lot of harassment and intimidation of drivers, unconscionable business practices, and plenty of rumors of corruption that you just couldn't ignore. Particularly, a lot of suggestion that the Department of Environmental Resources look the other way at problems and complaints. And it was rather disturbing the way things were set up.
That was former council chair Tom Dernoga, who a year ago he was council chair as CB 36 was pushed through in a unanimous vote, including Councilmember Will Campos, who has now introduced CB 3 and passed CB 3. Councilmember Mary Lehman, you were not on the council at this time, but your response to what former council chair Tom Dernoga just laid out.
Well, I think he's absolutely right, and he you know, hit the nail on the head by using the term stranglehold and monopoly, which is what you know, his bill last year broke up. I mean, we broke up the telephone monopoly what 30 or more years ago, and you know, here we are. Did we learn nothing? And you know, he in my judgment did the exact right thing with his legislation last year. And, you know, a year later, 9 months really after his law took effect, because it didn't take effect till October. Remember, Jack Johnson had vetoed it before the council also unanimously overrode the veto. The county has not even given, did not even give Mr. Dernoga's law a year to work, really had not even had a chance to work when the cab companies, just a handful of, you know, very powerful people, you know, unfortunately persuaded enough council members to overturn the law that it's, you know, the good work that Mr. Dernoga did is, you know, as if it never happened. And you're going to see a return to the same thing, to the monopoly control by these two or three companies. And, you know, these individual drivers, you know, in the same situation, paying just this enormous percentage, you know, the first 50% or so of their earnings back to these companies by lifting that. You know, the worst thing it did was lift the prohibition on the sale of the certificates from individual owners to companies or multiple owners. It's very, very unfortunate.
In an op-ed that you wrote in the Sunday Washington Post from July 3rd, entitled "Why Prince George's Need More Taxi Licenses," you write, "In Prince George's County, what has stood between independent drivers and economic security is a system that is reminiscent of the sharecropper system in the Old South, in which poor white and black farmers could never get ahead. While cab companies pay the county $200 per year per licensed vehicle, drivers who affiliate with those companies pay a staggering $335 per week, or about 50% of their earnings, to essentially rent the license from the corporate holder. The 2010 law corrected that imbalance by allowing more permits for independent drivers via a lottery system. Alarmed by the prospect of losing their stranglehold on the market, cab companies filed suit against the county in the fall, but the plaintiffs withdrew their complaint knowing they could not win in court. Instead, they persuaded County Council member William Campos to sponsor legislation to repeal the law." These are striking words. Can you talk about, you can compare this to the sharecropper system in the South and a little bit more, and then we're going to get Henock.
Well, I just, you know, this has been a learning experience for me, and I don't, you know, pretend to know as much as Mr. Dernoga and others, but, you know, I learned as much as I could, as quickly as I could, and I was, you know, I was stunned to learn of the $335 per week off the top. And I said in the THE, I think we had a briefing before we had the bill before us, where we, you know, moved it out, as I said, without recommendation. But we had a briefing where we kind of were given, you know, the background and the industry and the history of the law that had passed last year. And I, you know, my immediate reaction was, in the op-ed piece, I call it, by liken it to the sharecropper system in the South, but I immediately said to myself, you know, this is like a system of indentured servitude is what I thought of. We're just, there's just no way it's no one's ever going to get ahead in a system like that. When you're paying out, you know, 50% right off the top of your earnings, you know, how do you ever, you know, even make ends meet, never mind get ahead? It just, it's shocking, really, that any industry in this day and age can operate legally in that fashion. And it reminded me, you know, of Martin Luther King's words back in 1968, right before he was assassinated, when he went down to Memphis to talk to sanitation workers, and he talked about what a travesty it is for a man to, you know, work a full day for essentially half a day's pay. And I think that's exactly, I can't think of a better analogy for these cab drivers, the ones who have to affiliate with the companies because they aren't able to get you know, an independent, a very affordable, you know, $25 fee per year license, where they get to, you know, after they pay their expenses, you know, the car and the gas and all that, they get to keep everything they earn, and have some control over their lives and their earnings and their, you know, and their ultimate quality of life. That simply is not so for a driver who affiliates with a company. If we're going to allow these companies to go back to controlling 75% of the market, you know, that's the kind of system we're going to have, a very, very inequitable and unjust system.
Henak Ogduris, I want to bring you into the conversation. You're one of the leaders of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. You fought very hard to push through CB 36, the legislation that passed a year ago, which provided medallions directly to independent drivers, and fought very hard against the recently passed CB 3, which then reversed that legislation. What are some of your thoughts as you're hearing Councilmember Mary Lehman lay out some of her very serious concerns that she has with this recently passed CB 3?
I mean, it is outrageous that they're passing this bill, you know, that hasn't been fully implemented yet, but also given back the monopolies again to control the market, where, you know, they already control 70% of the market, and it's just reversing and keeping the status quo where the drivers basically have to be enslaved for them. And it's also like a lack of disregard to the public, where there was no opportunity where people can choose which companies to ride with. There was only one company that was providing for them. What CB36 did was give an opportunity for the people to have a free market where people have to compete for their business. So this bill was totally against the riding public, but also the drivers. This bill was all about the companies keeping that status quo where they get to keep 50% or more of the driver's income and give very poor service to the public.
Can drivers make a living right now?
It is very hard to make a living as an average cab driver in Prince George's County, especially like if you are under the control of the company, because even though the statistics mentioned about $32,000 to $40,000 average cab driver makes in Prince George's County, I can dispute that it is, you know, way below that amount. And especially when they have to pay $17,000 to those companies. And also, like, there's so many other additional charges that, you know, they can just come up and add in your account where you cannot contest or refuse to pay them, which means you lose your ability to drive a taxi in Prince George's County. So it is very hard for average cab driver to make a living.
Going forward, CB3 has passed, overturning the legislation Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance worked so hard to pass, which provided medallions directly to drivers. What are you going to do going forward? I mean, it took an incredible amount of organizing to get CB36 through. I was there the day it passed, and drivers just poured out of the county council chamber. Tears were coming down some drivers' faces. And now, to a significant extent, that has been reversed. It took a lot of organizing to pass CB 36. What's next?
We moving forward with our organization, even though it took us a long time to get organized and get to pass CB 36, but still we're organized and we were strategizing, because all the indications were they were going to pass this bill regardless whether it's right or wrong, because, as you know, some of the council members have refused to consider the public's interest or the driver's, interest or issues that were raised. So we were prepared for it, and we've gotten a certification from the Board of Election. We have registered ourselves to start signing a petition to stop CB3 from taking effect. So we have started that effort starting this past Friday.
And what do you need to for that to be successful?
We need to get 10,000 legitimate signatures from the voters registered in Prince George's County and within 90 days. And we have 45, within 45 days, we got to come up close to 3,300 petitions, and the law won't take effect for another 45 days. And we got to come up with the rest of petitions within 90 days. And that will stop from the law taking effect, and it's got to be put on a referendum for November 2012.
So you need 10,000 signatures of Prince George's County registered voters, and it was in 90 days. When did that start?
The bill was signed by Baker on Wednesday. The date starts, the day Baker signs it into the bill. But I'm pretty sure, they heard about this effort and they try to keep it quiet. And we were calling county executives, the Baker's office, to find out if he signed the bill. And they have refused to tell us about it, and we just find out about it on Friday. So there's a coordination effort from the county executive and, also the council members who voted for this bill to stop us, at any level.
I want to play for you a clip of Ron Smith speaking of a coordinated effort with the executive branch. He's the taxi board chair. And I interviewed him June 21st, just before the council had a hearing on CB3. I want to play for you that interview, Henoch, and get your response. Your name?
Ron Smith.
Can you talk about your chair of the taxi board, your position on CB3?
CB3, we've worked on it for the last 2 years. I actually was appointed to the commission and the panel who came back and brought back some recommendations to the council. And the recommendation that the council went with that came from the commission was 400. But the board itself doesn't have a position other than to support the county executive and the county council.
And right now, the legislation that's in effect, the CB 36, which calls for 400 medallions to be released.
That's correct.
And so the position of the taxi board is to release those medallions?
No, the position of the board is to affirm what the council's position is on them, to let the 254 stand and take a look at the 100, I believe is 146, at a later date.
I thought the legislation that was passed was for 400 medallions to be released.
At that time, but the new bill, which I think is the Campbell's bill, is, I guess they're repealing the 146. So that's our position. We support the council's position or the bill by Campbell's that's being introduced to repeal the 146. And down the road, as the county executive's staff has indicated, that we can come back and take a look at it at a later date.
To be clear, CB 36 is the law, and the Campos bill is a proposal.
That's correct, as I understand it.
And so the position of the taxi commission, part of the executive branch, taxi board, would be to carry out the law, right?
Well, not necessarily to carry out the law. Our position is to take a look at what's best for the the taxi industry in the county. And the way it looks is 254 seems to be enough at this point. There could be, as we have new development and new growth, we've got some Disney coming to National Harbor and stuff like that. So that's what they want to do. They want to wait 3 or 4 years, new development, and then come back and take a look at the rest of the numbers.
So just lastly, the CB 36 is the law. So the position of the Taxi Commission is, in fact, against what the D.C. Council, what the Prince George's County Council has passed.
That's correct. That would be correct.
Thank you so much.
Right.
That is Ron Smith, the chair of the taxi board in Prince George's County, saying that they were taking a position against at that point, the established law, which was CB 36. Now, in fact, CB 3 has passed, but this was prior to that. And they were saying their position was not to give out the remaining medallions, but that was at the time the law. I'm not a constitutional scholar. But I found that quite interesting. Your response, Hannah?
It is interesting to hear it from Ron Smith, who's the commissioner of the taxi board, to say this, because if I could go back to last year, where at the task force, he was representing the taxi commission, he stated that, you know, there's a shortage of cabs in this county. And he was even suggesting that, you know, some of the areas like, you know, Northern Laurel or Akasco or some part of, like, you know, Brandywine are being served by other county jurisdiction cabs because there's a shortage of cabs. And he suggested strongly that there should be 400 medallions to be added. And now for him to come out and support the county executive's position or the county council's proposal that shows you, like, you know, how incompetent the taxi board is, because they are just told what they have to do instead of the taxi commission. It's the other way around. The taxi commission has to make the recommendation what changes needs to be done to the county council and to the county executive. But it's the other way around. The county executive and the county councils are telling what the taxi commission should be doing. And, you know, those are the people who've been in the taxi board for the past 8 years. And that's why, like, you know, all this mess was happening, because those are incompetent people. If you look at Mr. Ron Smith, what did make him qualify to be a taxi cab commissioner? He drove a taxi for 1 year back in the 70s. And he was driving in Washington, D.C. the rest of the time. Now he's making his living driving as a bus driver. And if you look at the other taxi cab board member, he's a manager of a taxi cab company. And if you've seen him testifying at the county council, he said there should be no medallions. He already got a position because his interest is affected by CB 36. He wants to keep the old system.
Is that David Arnett?
That's David Arnett.
I want to play a clip. I actually interviewed David Arnett the day of the hearing, June 21st. Let's go to that. Your name?
David Arnett. Where are you from?
I'm Pete Tucker with the Fight Back. Your position?
I'm a member of the taxi cab, Prince George's County Taxi Board.
And what is your position on the medallion bill?
My position is that at the present time, there are too many medallions in the county. And to add more means it's adverse to the present cab drivers in the county. More medallions mean less income. And more medallions is not providing better service to the constituents within the PG County.
Are you speaking on behalf of the taxi board?
I'm speaking not on behalf of the taxi board. My position with you right now is as an individual, but not on behalf of the taxi board.
But the council passed legislation that requires a certain amount of medallions to be released, and not all those medallions have been released.
But they found that the county is flooded with medallions, and the more medallions are causing problems in as far as service to the constituents of the county and as far as increasing the income of the present driver. the purpose of the medallion is was to allow the drivers to act independent and increase their income, but it's not accomplishing that, and it's not giving, it's not allowing the constituents of PG County to get better service. As I was telling the gentleman before, you've got drivers, people who come off the metro on the New Carlton Metro. If they're going to Glen Arden or a nearby neighborhood, they're being refused service. The drivers won't pick them up and won't take them. So, thusly, what good is additional medallions?
Is it unusual? The council passes the laws, and I'm guessing the taxi cab commission's job is to...
But the law, but the bill that the county council passed had provisions in it in as far as issuing the medallions. This is why they did not get the lump sum that they requested initially.
But the bill in question does not, it's not about those provisions. It's about the initial medallions, which was not a provisional, those first medallions. Those have not been given out, and this would stop those. So if I'm not mistaken, you're taking a position against what the elected body has taken.
I'm taking a position against more medallions.
Which the legislation has already passed.
Regardless, the county does not need more medallions. The taxi cab industry does not need more medallions.
Is the taxi cab commission part of the executive branch?
We the taxi cab board, we're under the executive, yes.
And the executive branch is to carry out the laws that exist.
But our job is to monitor the county code. Our job is also to act on behalf of the drivers when they have grievances.
And you feel it's appropriate, even though the council has passed legislation calling for the 400-some medallions to be issued?
I think that that's too many.
But that's not what the elected body has stated.
You're asking me my personal opinion. My personal opinion after 35 years in this industry, in all phases of the industry, that at the present time, with the 1,100 and some cabs on the street, any additional cabs on the street is adverse to the taxi cab industry and adverse to the citizens of Prince George's County because they're not getting the service that they should.
But that's not the position of the taxi commission.
That is my personal opinion.
So the taxi commission will be following the law and issuing the remainder?
The taxi commission will issue their own statement as a body.
Any final thoughts you care to add?
No.
Thank you. So that was David Arnett. His name isn't on the card, but I think the card he gave me is Community Cab Company. And so he's a member of the taxi board in Prince George's County, but also has a private interest in the matter. And so it's not exactly clear when he takes a position, he's benefiting the county, or maybe he's benefiting his own personal interest. Your response, Hannah?
It has always been clear, from our experience as a cab drivers, that first of all, the taxi cab board has been incompetent. That goes for the Department of Environmental Resources and the Business License Office, which was all along was controlled by the very same individuals, because till the drivers start asking questions and what they have been doing. And if you look at the taxi commission, in the past 10 years, they haven't made any single recommendation to the county council or to the county executive. There was no activity in terms, as of last year till the county council introduced the task force. There was no activity on behalf of the taxi board. I mean, those are people who were very happy with the existence of the system pre-CB36, because those are the company owners and they are making all the money, and they didn't have no problem, or they did not want to make any recommendation because that would be affecting their own personal interest. And as far as Mr. David Arnett is concerned, he testified against CB36 not to be passed, and now they are contradicting themselves. Also, they are challenging the law because it's affecting their own personal interest. So the taxi cab commission should be following what the court says and enforcing the laws or interpreted as it was written. But now the taxi board is above the law, And this shows you, like, all along how this industry been affected because it was run by incompetent people. And one issue is nobody was asking those questions till the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance start asking those questions and pushing the Taxi Cab Commission. Even with that, we were not successful because they are incompetent. If you look at it, like, out of the five board, there's only three people, which is Ron Smith, which is his opinion, David Arnett, and there's also another individual. But there's two vacancies already going back last year's, and nobody has been appointed into that. And as far as in our position is concerned, the current taxi cab board doesn't have the legitimacy to be running the taxi affairs because the current law states there should be two people and one should be a full-time active drivers in the board.
There should be two industry representatives?
Two industry representatives, and one has to be a full-time active taxi cab driver who doesn't own or control more than one single medallion.
Interesting. Very similar to what's going on in the District of Columbia. Henok Ogdurs, before I get your final thoughts, I wanted to apologize to District 1 Councilmember Mary Lehman, who was kind enough to join us. And we've had terrible phone difficulties and haven't been able to get her back on the line. And I wanted to apologize to her. There are a number of issues I wanted to get her thoughts, including the comments of Ron Smith and David Arnett. But also, this is a subject that, as she writes in the July 3rd Sunday Washington Post, this is a subject I care deeply about. Councilmember Lehman writes, "My late father, Richard Hensel, provided for our family of eight by supplementing his D.C. firefighter salary as a taxi driver for Diamond Cab in the district. After a heart condition forced him into early retirement from the fire department, he drove full-time for more than 20 years. It was good, honest work, but the hours were long, and we saw little of him, because when he was not driving, he was catching up on sleep." And that may be an indication as to why she has spoken out so forcefully. And again, I was hoping to give her a chance to explain, but there are technical problems on our end. Henok Ogdurs, again, any final thoughts that you have, and what are you hoping happens in the days and weeks to come, and how can folks help out?
First of all, like, I think till the people of Prince George's County start asking questions and holding their politicians accountable, those kind of things will continue. And it's been my personal experience. And what is happening is the council members that we meet, beside those who spoke out against the bill, like Councilman Mary Lehman and Councilman Eric Olson, have agreed with us in private. They said this bill should never have been brought in the first place, but they still voted against it because the county is controlled by very few powerful lobbyists and the taxi company. But I hope we're going to be successful. And I'm very optimistic that we're going to be successful because we are making people aware about these issues, and we have been getting a tremendous positive responses and assistance from different community organizations like PRISM, Progressive Maryland, Casa de Maryland, and so many activists that I cannot name at this point. And we're going to be successful in this petition drive and also highlighting the wrongs in the taxi industry and exposing the monopolies and the illegal activities. And one other thing I want to say is this issue is an issue that's popping everywhere in the Washington regional area. And if the drivers can come together and highlight the issues, also, like, you know, fight this injustice that's going on, I think we have a very positive outlook in terms of that we can defend this attack that's being done all over the region on working class, poor people who are trying to defend, also like, you know, trying to provide to their families, law-abiding citizens. And I think we have a very large number of drivers. As long as we can unite, I think we'll expose this industry, and the people also will be aware of these issues.
Do you think you'll be able to get 10,000 signatures? That's an awful lot. You probably have to get a few more than that. I imagine they'll be challenged.
We are shooting actually for close to 20,000. And our drivers are very motivated. And some of the churches and organizations that we meet are very, motivated. And they've been asking us when they get started. And so far the effort has been going well. And there's a lot of activities, a lot of festivals, and we're going to be attending each and every one of it. And hopefully we're going to be successful in our effort.
And we look forward to, on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, regular weekly updates from you and others in the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. You can give us an update on how many signatures you've got, how many to go, and how folks can help out. So we look forward to continuing to follow your efforts.
Yes, sir. And hopefully, I will keep an update, and we'll let the drivers and the unions know what's going on and whatever assistance that we need, and also whatever assistance that we can give.
Thanks so much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Pete, for having me.
That was an interview with Henakwa Durst, a lead organizer with the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance, as well as with District 1 Council Member Mary Lehman. This is the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers, a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. The Small Business Association consists of the following driver-owned cab companies and associations: Allied, Ambassador, Black Pearl, Camel, DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association, Dominion, Grand, Luxury, Pleasant, Seasons, Swift, Travelers, UCC, Washingtonian, Welcome, and Wonder Cab. You're listening to the Voice of DC Cab Drivers on WUST Washington, 1120 AM. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org, where this show and past shows are archived. We now turn to an interview with Brahani Michaels, a lead organizer with Otto, Arlington United Taxi Operators. Otto is concerned that drivers have been left out of the political process, and in particular, left out of the writing of the county's taxi code. We'll play as much as we can with the interview, and the whole show, as I said, will be posted to thefightback.org. Here is Brahani Michaels.
My name is Brahani Michael, and I represent OTA, which is Arlington United Taxi Cab Organization, established in Alexandria here.
Why did OTA, Arlington United Taxi Cab Organization, were you a part of creating it?
There are various things, but amongst them, the taxi cab ordinance, Arlington Taxi Cab Ordinance, does not represent the driver's interest, and we're having so many obstacles while conducting the taxi services. There is no parity, there is no equality, no democratic right whatsoever, and we're being harassed on a day-to-day basis by both the authority and the police, and the companies at large.
Explain that. Maybe let's start with the companies. Talk a little bit about the companies that that drivers have to work for in Virginia,
well,
in Arlington.
There are seven companies that we are working for here in Arlington. The taxi cab ordinance that is in course right now, established in 2009 and due to be revised now, gives them all the rights. For example, if you are a private owner, you would buy a taxi cab with a cost of $30,000 to $50,000, depends which company. And the company may fire you or take away the number anytime for no reason.
A driver has to pay $30,000 to $50,000.
Yes, to buy a car, taxi cab. And then the then, reason why it is so is the ordinance or the county gives the numbers, which are medallion in this case, issued directly to the companies, and the companies then in turn pass to a taxi driver. Or, for example, if the number is 28, that number has to be affixed on that car. And that's your car. You paid for it. But if the company, for any reason, wants to take it back, it can take it back. And your $30,000 would be on there. Therefore, the taxi driver may have to leave the company. So there is no parity right there. Your investment is given to a company, and the company uses it the way it wants.
How long has this been the case?
Well, it has been since I came in, 2 years now. It is so. And in Arlington, it has been so for quite some time.
What's the response? I imagine you've approached government officials, both agencies as well as elected officials. What's been some of the responses you've received?
So far, we talked to all of the members of the Board of County, and the responses, what they were saying was they are going to revise this ordinance within 2 years, which was established in 2009, and therefore it's due to be revised in 2011, in which case we will be heard, our voices will be heard. So far, nothing happened, nothing occurred. We are writing to the county staff. The county staff is responsible to revise the ordinance, and so far nothing has been done. And 2 years have lapsed. So we are just pushing or explaining to the authorities there that we should revise this ordinance, which is not in favor of the drivers.
It's extraordinary. The driver has to put up the money. $30,000 to $50,000 is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then an owner, for whatever reason, can take away that driver's...
Yeah, can be fired. Yeah, the driver could be fired for any reason without due process. And it happened so many times. And so we just want fairness. We are asking for fairness, a parity, where both the driver and the company could work harmoniously and with due democratic rights. And we do not have any democratic rights like freedom of movement, freedom of speech, and freedom of assembly. Now, anything else aside, first thing we are asking is justice for drivers, which means the basic rights of a driver has to be included or has to be reaffirmed in the ordinance itself, because unless the ordinance says so, we are being abused by companies and the police at the same time.
Are drivers, how difficult is it right now to make a living, to make enough to pay the rent and take care of life's necessities for drivers in Arlington right now?
Well, it is not as used to be right now because of the recession. Life is becoming difficult. We have so many expenses to pay. We have rentals to pay. We have, in case of private owners, we have to pay for insurance. We have to pay for maintenance and so forth. So it's kind of hard at this time, But we're still continuing because it's our way of living, and we have to continue doing that. The expenses are higher and very, very difficult, really. Not as it used to be.
I'm reading from The Examiner, the newspaper, June 23rd, in a piece entitled Arlington Cabbies Stage Sit-In. Quote, taxi drivers packed into an Arlington County office Wednesday demanding changes to local laws they said restrict cabbies' rights. About 100 drivers staged the lunchtime sit-in to ask Arlington's transportation director to change the county's taxi code, saying their letters, phone calls, and emails had been ignored for too long. He didn't respond. That's why we came here today, to beg him to talk, taxi driver Fossil Berhe said. Drivers said the two-year-old taxi code lets their bosses fire them at will, doesn't let drivers move between companies, and doesn't give drivers complete rights to their own taxis. We don't have any security, Berhe said. The code is working for just the companies. The demonstration caught the county by surprise, officials said. Talk about this lunchtime sit-in.
Well, despite several several hearings, several emails and letters, the county staffers have never responded to us. And finally, we were told that the county staff were not ready to meet with us. Therefore, we went directly to the office of the county. And we asked them to listen to us and to talk to us. And it happened. They talked to us, and we left with a promise that they're going to start revising the ordinance. Now, 3 weeks passed, nothing has happened. And we followed this by another letter last week, which was Thursday, I believe. And we're still waiting for the answer.
What are your plans going forward? I see you're working with Tenants and Workers United.
Well, Tenants and Workers United is the parent, let's say the parent company or the umbrella company, umbrella organization. There are 11 chapters in this organization. We are the 11th chapter. And Alexandria Taxi is the 10th chapter. So we are several chapters included under the umbrella of Tenants and Workers.
What are your plans going forward? You mentioned that the sit-in led to some hopeful discussion that you'd be included in the rewriting of the code, but now 3 weeks later you're saying that has not happened as far as you can tell.
Well, we're going to continue asking the county, or now we have asked the director of transportation of Arlington County to be involved and see our case. And so we're going to continue to push it around, and we do not advocate to make any strikes, because Arlington is a unique county, and we have several children and elderly people that we transport from place to place, who are dependent on taxi cab, and we do not want to be responsible for that. So we may not go into a main strike, but we'll continue to press the issue, and I'm sure one day it's going to be a success.
How many drivers are associated with Auto Arlington United Taxi Cab Organization?
Well, I wouldn't say the number for fear of the companies, but that day we had over 150 cab drivers attending that standoff, and only 100 stayed because the other 50 were returned to go to work. Because, you know, the space was too small, and we didn't see any importance of having more than 100 people. So quite a number. There are 1,400 registered taxi cab drivers in Arlington County, and we have a sizable number. is supporting us. Everyone supports the idea of being organized in the union, but the fear of the companies is holding them up. And we will keep the numbers secret for the moment.
Why is there fear of the companies? What might a company do?
Well, it happened before. If they one of the companies, at least, if they know that you are involved in the union, then for one reason or the other, they may fire you, or they may take back their number, and there you are. You're stuck on the ground. Such actions have been taken even after that June standoff. Several drivers have received warnings from one of the companies, saying that if you attend any meetings, we'll take back our number. If you support that, you'll not continue to drive our cab. Such things are happening right now.
Has this been brought to the attention of elected officials?
That yes. Every occasion, we write to them and we tell them what's happening.
What's the response?
So far, nothing. You just letters are going in and no response at all. And that's why there was a standoff last 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
Well, I look forward to following this issue. That is quite striking what you're laying out. Any final thoughts that you care to share, if there are other outstanding issues that we haven't touched on?
I think we have touched everything, but the details will come forward. The only thing is to ask Mr. Dennis Lynch, who is the assistant director for transportation, to listen to our argument, and that if he listens to us, he'll find out that we are helping him, or we're helping the people in general, or the customers in general. So we are asking him now, again and again and again, to listen to us, sit with us, discuss, and find an equitable solution to the problem, to the existing problem. We're being harassed. We're being fired for nothing. And there is no parity. And Arlington should not have such an ordinance, because in my consideration, Arlington County is the most progressive county, organized county, and shouldn't have such an oppressive ordinance.
Hmm. What's the time frame again? 2011, you said, is when the ordinance gets rewritten.
Yeah. So, which is it's due right now.
Yeah.
We could have started the process now. There's no process started. Nothing is done, and that's why we're pressing, writing to them and telling them what the issues are, explaining to them. We've been very, very, very patient. We didn't rush to make strikes and the rest of things. We want to do it peacefully, and we want to do it by mutual discussion and whatever. You know, together we can work. We believe in discussion. We don't believe on strikes and so forth. But they are pushing us towards, I don't know, what ends. Particularly Mr. Dennis Lynch is pushing us too hard. He is ignoring us totally. He doesn't listen to us. He doesn't hear to us. He doesn't want to consider us. And he doesn't, I doubt very much whether he considers us a human being at the same time.
Hmm. Well, I look forward to reaching out to Arlington Transportation Director Dennis Leach, and I know there's going to be a lot of drivers in D.C. and Prince George's and elsewhere that are interested to follow closely what you're going through. And, yeah, it seems like if this code needs to get rewritten in the next months, that drivers should be a part of the conversation that is
discussing their your profession.
Yeah, we have much more higher or much more complex problem in Arlington as compared to PG County, Alexandria, and D.C. These three counties, they may have economic issues or financial issues mainly, but we have a democratic problem issue. We're being harassed. Sometimes we think that we are elsewhere, not in America, and this has to stop. So it's different. We have not reached the extent that Alexandria and DC have. We didn't reach that. We're way down low. Our laws are bitter. It doesn't serve the county. It doesn't serve the public. It doesn't serve nobody except few companies. And some of them are willing to. They listen to us. We talk to them. We talk to the companies, except Bluetap and Environ. Everybody talks to us. We discuss about problems. And we have a problem only with Dennis Lynch, who doesn't want to listen to us.
Well, thanks so much for your time. I look forward to following your struggles and the organizing that you're doing with Otto. Very, very interesting name, Arlington United Taxi Cab Organization.
Yes, and thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk to the public. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was an interview with Brahani Michaels, elite organizer with Otto, Arlington United Taxi Operators. This has been the voice of DC Cab Drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers, a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. You can find this entire show starting tomorrow, as well as past shows of the voice of DC Cab Drivers at thefightback.org. If you're on Facebook or Twitter, you can follow The Fight Back there as well. Special thanks to Mark Taylor for his excellent engineering of tonight's show. Tune in next week to the voice of DC Cab Drivers here, 7 p.m. on WST 1120 a.m. You were just listening to the voice of DC Cab Drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WST 1120 a.m. Tune in Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. to catch the show live, or to download and listen to past programs, visit thefightback.org.
Souls accused of hit and run, tire tracks all across your back. I can see you had your fun, but darling, can't you see my signals turn from green to red? And with you, I can see a traffic jam.